It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Oh, that's not like you. Hello, Phil. How are you?
G'day, Mikey. I'm fine. Thank you, mate.
Tell you what, after we spoke last week, I was busy doing something on a beautiful Friday afternoon. Beautiful Friday. I love a good Friday afternoon in Auckland City. I cast my eyes over the treetops and went, oh, there they are. There's our Pohutukawa. There they are.
There and they were flowering?
Yeah, a good honest one, not Australian, but one, like a good honest one, just starting to welcome in summer.
Hey, it did feel like that over the weekend, didn't it? I went out, I had a meeting, I think I had six different events on Saturday, and I went out and a lot of them were outside, you know, was the weekend, and so I felt that sun streaming down on my face, and I was starting to get hot and took my jacket off. I thought, hey, summer has finally arrived. And then, of course, this week it snows down in the South Island, and it hit 4 degrees when I drove into work this morning across the plains. So, hey, that's spring, isn't it? It's one minute summer, next minute it's back to winter.
I mean, you're not the mayor of the South Island, you're the mayor of Auckland.
That's right. Why should we care about the South Island?
It doesn't snow here. The incoming summer means a few changes have to be made, don't they? People go on holiday. There's the city changes over summer.
Yeah. The city goes. Actually, sometimes it's quite nice to stay in the city because everybody else has moved out of it, and it's got that beautiful, serene, peaceful feeling. And you, even when you drive in the mornings, it's just like 20 years ago. There's plenty of room on the roads. There's no traffic congestion.
When I drive into BFM every morning, it feels like 20 years ago. Anyway, so the Western Spring Speedway, what's happening there? There's a cost blowout, isn't there?
Well, there's a discussion about it this morning.
Cost blowout. That's not just an overspend. That's a cost blowout.
Well, what the council, I was pretty unhappy about it. The council came up with a figure that said that, you know, there was $20 million more that was going to be spent. And I said, hey, hang on, you haven't put this past council. Where's the justification for that? So we'll have a discussion about that this morning. Look, what is happening? Collindale Park out by the airport was developed, oh gosh, probably 15 years ago, with the intention of it being a motorsports precinct, so go-karts and a whole lot of range of activities. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good place for it. It's quiet. It's doesn't have nearby neighbours that, you know, are going to get rucked up about the sound of cars racing around tracks. And the idea was that we'd have a precinct out there and we'd have about five or six different sports out there. Now, Western Springs is, Speedway was there first, but the houses moved in around it, and it was limited by the Environment Court to only, I think, 12 meets a year. They want to do about 20. They've got interest.
I guess it does a lot of damage to the ground itself. I'm not sure how much damage Speedway does actually.
Yeah, it's all repairable. I mean, it makes a they dampen it down to keep the dust down, etc. But anyway, Speedway Promotions Limited, which are the outfit that run the races at Western Springs, then came back to us and said, look, we've changed our mind. We have realised that the constraints on Western Springs are going to be long-standing. We need a new development. We're prepared to look at Collindale. And so a couple of our councillors that headed that up said, yeah, that's good. Let's talk that through. And there was a deal that it was going to cost about $10 million of council money to move. And, you know, that's probably in line with what we provide with a lot of outfits in terms of the development of their capital facilities in the sporting world. And then suddenly this report comes, I got a copy of it Friday night, and it says $10 million plus $20 million. I thought, bugger that.
That's $10 million more.
I've not been cited on that sort of expenditure. And now they've come back and they'll give us a new presentation that will say, okay, we can do the basic or we can do the finished product. I think probably many councillors will be of a mind that it's the basic they want, and that, you know, we've got a lot of demand on the on our money and a limited supply of it. Let's see where a reasonable figure lies, and that's what we'll be exploring this morning.
So, do you think some people get are under the illusion that the Auckland City Council is a bit of a soft touch, or that you can cut corners if you can just get things under the radar, that sort of thing?
I never a week goes by when I don't have, 10, 50, $100 million worth of requests for what we should do. Of course, if we were to do all of it, we'd either be bankrupt or your rates would have climbed right through the ceiling. So we've got to find the right balance. Yes, we've got an obligation to provide parks and we've to provide for sporting activities. And, you know, I was up opening the new Red Beach Surf Club, and I praised them, actually, because they're not just a sport, but they're there providing a safety service for the public. So, you know, we'll be putting money into those sort of things, but everybody wants more money and there's a limited amount of it to go around. So council's job is to say, how can we spend this money most sensibly and do the greatest good for the greatest number of people? And that's what it's about.
Yeah, we do. We always welcome visitors, don't we, to Tamaki Makaurau. And at the moment, what would you say are the top four draw cards?
Top four draw cards for Auckland?
Oh, we're in Auckland. We must.
Yeah. It's I'd say Waiheke and the Gulf is the top one.
Yeah.
I love the Maunga because I love to climb up them and look out over the city, and I like the
you have to pick a favourite though
they provide. Oh, it's got to be Mangafal for me because that's where I was born, right under the lee of the mountain.
Right under the lee.
Yeah. Now the third one I'm going to say is I love our reserves, Waitakere, which you know we suffer from the Kauri dieback at the moment, which is a constraint, and Hunua. And the fourth thing, I just like some of the inner-city parks, the Domain. I was up in the Domain over the weekend. We're doing tree planting with the Consular Corps and Albert Park. I mean, you know, if you're looking for outdoor stuff, that's the stuff I love about Auckland.
Yeah, all draw cards. A new stadium, though. Where are we on that now? The new stadium, the sunken stadium, the fact that we're even going to have this stadium. Why don't we just put it one in the LZ Racecourse? Why don't we just do, you know?
Yeah, look, does a world-class city need an international facility like that? The answer is yes. At the moment, we've got Eden Park. We can probably keep using Eden Park for a decade or a decade and a half. But at a certain point, you're going to have to spend quite a lot of money on that, upgrading it, and is it in the right place?
Some of your councillors have been criticising the fact that the work so far, the speculatory work on it, and I guess the reports and all that sort of thing, aren't 100% available for them to see.
Oh, well, that's wrong. And the Ombudsman came out with a report yesterday, and I can quote it just so I'm not being allegedly misrepresenting it. Here's the Ombudsman's own words. I have found the Council's decision to release with conditions to be justified. I have further considered whether the particular conditions applied were reasonable in the circumstances. In my view, these conditions were not unreasonable in the circumstances. And he says that ultimately it's my view that the lack of conditions applied to the Mayor's access to the report did not change that the access you, the councillors, were granted appears to be sufficient to meet the responsibilities of your role. It was an absolutely clean bill of health from the Ombudsman and said, of course there is stuff that you get that is confidential that you've got to maintain confidentiality about, but actually the councillors all got full access to the full report, but under conditions they didn't copy it. And that they did not pass that information on, and the Ombudsman found that that was totally reasonable.
They basically said you run a tight ship.
Now, basically said, hey, yes, you've got to maintain confidentiality, but the councillors did have full access to the report. They just weren't allowed to go out and say, this commercial information was provided by these companies and that would obviously, you know, if we were to disclose that information, no company would ever give us commercially sensitive information again, and that would make our job impossible.
You know, a company that must be has really jumped into your sort of orbit of late, are these Lime scooters. We talked about them before. I rode my first two rides yesterday on the Lime scooter. They do go quite quick, the good ones. I had a good one, and then I had one that was a bit sluggish. So, of course, I gave that a bad rating. But the I've noticed that the council have put sort of, what are they, stickers? Or are they sort of screen prints on the footpath saying, hey, everybody, scoot safe.
Yeah. It's a low level safety campaign, but just to remind people that.
Can I just say on top of it, don't look down at the sign
The poster they put out there says keep your ears open and your eyes looking straight ahead. I did see somebody the other day riding a scooter quite fast with earphones in and listening to something on their phone, and I thought that's not very bloody wise.
But that person might be stupid across the board, maybe not just on.
I mean, there's plenty of stupid people that drive motor vehicles, we have laws against them. Look, my view on the scooter is essentially they're a great way of getting around, but they're not a toy.
Is that the extent of the council sort of meddling with the whole gimmick?
We're working with, first of all, we're working with the scooter hire companies because they're doing they're lifting their program around safety. They recognise there is a need for that. I've said that if you're riding, and I notice a lot of the scooters on the road now, and if they're not allowed supposedly on cycleways, which is stupid. The regs need to be changed so that they can go on cycleways. But if you're on the footpath, doing 20 k's an hour doesn't make any sense. If you're sharing that footpath with pedestrians and cars coming out of driveways and all sorts of things, so we're taking up with the Minister of Transport. Hey, on footpath there needs to be some speed limitation. It might be say 10.
You have to sing while you're on it so people can hear you coming.
Look, the other thing, I know the helmet thing makes it difficult because you pick up the thing and if you have a helmet requirement. Unless they've got helmets on every scooter, it's going to be hard to do. But the government's got to come to terms with that and where the safety balance lies. But we're saying, look, we're in favour of the scooters, great way of getting around, but you need to ride sensibly. You can't legislate against idiocy. And unfortunately, some people riding them are idiots, but most people aren't. Most people are riding them safely and reasonably.
That was me yesterday.
Like Mikey Havoc. Now, there's a good, solid citizen for you.
Poster boy. Poster old man.
Poster boy for our campaign. Yeah.
One thing I did notice, though, that an unexpected positive was that, you look at people on scooters, they're not, apart from that one guy you saw, but they're not looking down at their phone like 85% of everybody else that's walking around the world.
That's the thing.
You're looking around, you're looking forward. Yeah. Where are you going? You're taking in the atmosphere. You're taking in Auckland.
Yeah. No, look, I think, people have said to me,
29Ks.
Do you think this is a fad or do you think this is for real? And I said, look, people seem to enjoy riding them. They look like a convenient way of getting around the centre of town. The concept of just picking up the scooter and riding it to get from A to B, and it, costs you a couple of dollars or something like that. Yeah, look, of course we'd welcome these things. But, the other thing I've said is, look, we expect the police, there's bylaws at the moment that says if you're using any sort of vehicle recklessly, you're committing an offence. Just like you'd expect the police to pick somebody up riding a bike or driving a car and doing stupid things, you'd expect the police to enforce the law on scooters when and where they see that. And I just need to make sure that the police have in mind, look, These are vehicles. They're legitimate vehicles. But if somebody's doing something stupid, you might pull them over and book them. Just like you would a car driver doing something stupid, or a cyclist doing something stupid, or even a bloody pedestrian doing something stupid.
Bloody pedestrians.
While we can't legislate for people being sensible, we do have some sanctions there if people are not being sensible, and we probably need to set a guideline, a rule actually, not a guideline. If you're riding a scooter on the footpath, then 20 k's obviously just doesn't make sense. It might make sense if you're on the cycleway or if you're on the road and it's safe to do that speed. But we want people to use them, but we want people to be safe. And that accident rate, like any accident rate, the overall car rate, motorcycle rate over the weekend was just awful. Four motorcyclists killed. We have an obligation across the board to try to promote safety, and that's what we're trying to do.
Hey, Phil, thanks very much. Speak to you next week.
Okay, good as gold, Mikey.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.